The Conservatives have ruled Britain for almost 14 years. What have they done to the country? I was born in 1980, a year after Margaret Thatcher entered Downing Street with the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi on her lips. Where there is doubt, may we bring faith, and where there is despair, may we bring hope. The Conservative-run Britain of the 80s was not harmonious. Life beyond the North London Square where my family lived often seemed to be in the grip of one confrontation or another. The news was always showing police on horseback. There were strikes, protests, the IRA, and George Michael on the radio. My father, who was a lawyer in the city, travelled to Germany to buy a Mercedes and drove it back, elated. Until Thatcher resigned when I was 10, her steeply back-combed hair and deep, impossible voice played an outsized role in my imagination. A more interesting, more dangerous version of the Queen. I was nearly 17 when the Tories finally lost power, to Tony Blair and New Labour, an updated, market-friendly version of the party. Before he moved to Downing Street, Blair lived in Islington, the gentrifying borough I was from. Boris Johnson, an amusing right-wing columnist who was getting his start on television, also lived nearby. Our local Member of Parliament was an out-of-touch leftist named Jeremy Corbyn. New Labour believed in the responsibility of the state to look after its citizens and in capitalism to make them prosper. Blair was convincing, even when he was wrong. He won 3 general elections in 10 years and walked out of the House of Commons to a standing ovation, undefeated in his eyes. I was turning 30 when Labour eventually ran out of road, undone by the Iraq War, the global financial crisis, and the grim temper of Gordon Brown, Blair's successor. He was caught in a hot mic moment describing an ordinary voter who was complaining about taxes and immigration as a bigot. Since then, it's been the Conservatives again. In 2010, the party returned to government in a coalition with the Liberal Democrats. Since 2015, it has held power alone. Last May, the Tories surpassed the 13 years and 9 days that New Labour had held office. But the third political era of my lifetime has been nothing like the previous two. There has been no dominant figure or overt political project, no Thatcherism, no Blairism. Instead, there has been a quickening, lowering churn. 5 prime ministers, 3 general elections, 2 financial emergencies, a once-in-a-century constitutional crisis, and an atmosphere of tired, almost constant drama. The period is bisected by the United Kingdom's decision, in 2016, to leave the European Union. A Conservative fantasy, or nightmare, depending on whom you talk to. Brexit catalysed some of the worst tendencies in British politics. Its superficiality, nostalgia, and love of gameplay, and exhausted the country's political class, leaving it ill-prepared for the pandemic and the twin economic shocks of the war in Ukraine and the 49-day experimental premiership of Liz Truss. Covering British politics during this period has been like trying to remember and explain a very convoluted and ultimately boring dream. If you really concentrate, you can recall a lot of the details, but that doesn't lead you any closer to any meaning. Last year, I started interviewing Conservatives to try to make sense of these years. One always starts with disclaimers now. I didn't start this car crash. Julian Glover, a former speechwriter for David Cameron, the longest-serving Prime Minister of the period, told me. I spoke to MPs and former cabinet ministers, political advisers who helped to make major decisions, and civil servants, local government officials, and frontline workers hundreds of miles from London who had to deal with the consequences. Some people insisted that the past decade and a half of British politics resists satisfying explanation. The only way to think about it is as a psychodrama enacted, for the most part, by a small group of middle-aged men who went to elite private schools, studied at the University of Oxford, and have been climbing and chucking one another off the ladder of British public life. The cursus honorum, as Johnson once called it, ever since. The Conservative Party, whose history goes back some 350 years, aids this theory by not having anything as vulgar as an ideology. They're not on a mission to do X, Y, or Z. As a former senior advisor explained, you win and you govern, because we are better at it. Right?